Our last preview, and we've saved our team to the end, Steve. Tell us what you think.
Yes mate, the Dragons and the Parramatta Eels. A little bit disappointed you've had a dip at our captain, mate, King Gutho. But some positive sign for both clubs with some of the gun juniors we've both got coming through, mate.
Yeah, we really like a lot of what we see in our teams, but how much do we actually like them? Not so sure. And some other big news this week in the footy.
Yeah, some eligibility changes to State of Origin. So there's always room to talk Origin, no matter how early in the season it is.
Sport is life.
So we'll dive into that and bring up a few players.
I see it. Big upside for the Blues, which I'm excited about.
Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body.
All right, the final League is Life preview for the season, and we left the best till last. And when I say best, I certainly don't mean best in terms of playing, but in terms of our favourite teams. Steve, looking forward to talking all things Eels and Dragons today.
Mate, I would have much preferred to talk about the Dragons before last weekend's trial performance. I can't wait to hear how much shit you're going to put on the Mighty Dragons. But we'll have a few laughs, some things come out of the trials and a few other things. Looking forward to talking about it all, mate.
Yeah, it's good, mate. You must be disappointed, though. You're going to Vegas to watch them, and they turn out that shit against a, let's be honest, a second-string South team at best.
Yeah, it was very disappointing, mate. I wasn't expecting fireworks. The Dragons don't play that sort of style of game as it is, but I was certainly expecting a pretty solid performance and a hit-out. There was barely a first grader in the South side with respect to them. They had one of their front rowers, but outside of that, she was pretty light on. They had a lot of superstars watching from the Pines. Bennett didn't even get involved. He was a spectator as well. So, look, at the end of the day, it is a trial match. I've been telling myself for the last couple of days, so I'm not going to get too upset about it, but we'll see. We'll need to see some improvement very quickly from the Dragons, I think.
So disappointed you're wearing blue and gold today, mate. I love it.
Well, normally what happens, mate, when the Dragons don't perform well, I go to my beloved Norse Devs, my Q Cup team here that I follow pretty strongly. So, it doesn't take me long to jump ship onto the Devs, mate. They've been very successful over the last few years.
Oh, mate, I've jumped a few bandwagons in my time, so I can relate. Many, many poor years. All right, let's start with the Dragons. Let's start with the shining light. Yeah. That young fella, you mentioned him last week in the first trial. He is genuinely someone to get excited about, isn't he? What's his name? Cade Reid.
Yeah, he was, mate. He played really well in that first trial. So I think that I've put that down as the Dragons' strength is the future. There's certainly a lot of tomorrows in that side. You know, they've certainly got a couple of the old fellas with Gutho and Cookie, Val, etc. But the future does look bright for St. George. They've really gone back to that catchment area, especially in the Wollongong region. You know, they've produced some quality footballers for a long, long time now through that area. And the future does look bright, and that's their strength. You know, if you look at that forward pack, you could name a forward pack now for the Dragons that look pretty solid for the next few years. They all look like they have already started becoming, you know, solid first graders and look like they could even potentially hit rep honours. So that's certainly their strength. And young fellas are going to have off days. And I'm not saying I'm getting caught too much up on the trial. It wasn't a good enough performance, but trials are trials. They've certainly got one eye on Vegas. I wouldn't want to be going out getting injured in a trial game and missing Vegas. And you're going to get young guys that are going to have, some bumps and bruises that aren't up to that year in, year out first grader. But certainly the future looks bright across the board. They've got a number of young backs as well, but certainly that forward pack's one to get excited about, mate.
Yeah, I agree. I think for sure. And if you think about Burton getting injured earlier in the day, that may have spooked a few of them. Could you imagine getting injured and having to miss that trip? You'd be gutted.
Brutal. So, it would have played on them, no doubt. So there's, while there's a few things to get excited about for a few other teams, You can't go too high or too low with the old trial matches. They're wanting to get out there and have a run around and try and blow the cobwebs out. Hopefully, they'll be a lot better for it come Vegas.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Particularly a good young crop of forwards. We saw it last year at the start of the year before a lot of them actually got injured. Yeah. And you got a good mix. They got, of course, Gutho, Cookie, Holmes. You throw in Kerr, even Luciano Leilua looking extremely trim and fit. Obviously,
hasn't he lost some weight?
Yeah, he actually looks amazing. So you've got a good mix of experience. The problem's still going to be the same problem it's been for a while now, and that's the halves and the six and seven, whoever that ends up being. It looks like they're starting with Atkinson and Flanagan. But even just beyond that, like there seems to be a real lack of star power for guys in their prime. Like you've got a few guys there who have been stars. They're on the wrong side of 30 now. They're still playing well, but there's not that 24 to 28 year old star that you're just looking like, oh, that's something for me to get excited about this year.
Yeah, no, you're spot on, mate. We're the Dragons are caught in that transitional period where they've got a couple of those older fellas in to try to hopefully show them the way and show them what it's like to be professional. Like no one can knock Gutherson and Cook especially. You know, how professional they are. Gutherson still wins all of the fitness tests. You know, they both want to go around again next year. So they're stuck in the middle. Those guys have been brought into transition, the Dragons, into the next era. And that new crop coming through, the Dylan Egans, the Couchman brothers, even King Tongia, you know, he played a lot of footy last year. He's got a fair bit of work to do in his defence, which is why they've gone the way they have to start the season at least. You know, Jacob Little's another one who had a huge year last year. He's been injured for these last couple of weeks. So there's a lot of green shoots coming through, but that middle age group, to your point, and to have that superstar, you know, Val will play, will more than likely play Origin. Jaden Sewer's obviously thereabouts most years, but right now they don't have that middle crop that have played that 150 to 200 games of NRL and who are ready to take the next step. It's just unfortunately just going to have to be a little bit of treading water until we can get there in the next couple of years, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you look across the competition, the number ones are now absolute speedsters.
Yeah.
Is there a thought that maybe Gutho shifts to the six or the centres or, I mean, I don't know, where are you from? Yeah. I mean, that's probably why Parra said we're going to play you as utility and it's up to you if you stay or not, because they've gone out and out speed, small ball to a certain degree. So what are your thoughts there? Has there been any talk about it?
From the media, I don't think there's been much talk internally. I think Gutho certainly this year will play fullback, depending on what they do next year. I think the bigger problem the Dragons have got is probably Sloan's our backup fullback. And Sloan's not, you know, we've spoken about Sloan before and we'll mention him later as my most overrated player. Sloan's great in those highlight reels where he'll do, you know, something once a fortnight that just grabs the attention of the fans and lights it up, but he's not an NRL standard fullback. All right, so he'll do that one run, but then he's going to miss a tackle or he's not going to line up in defence properly. Unfortunately, Sloan was that junior coming through who was just an out-and-out superstar and unfortunately just doesn't like contact. Right, you cannot be an NRL fullback or you can't be an NRL player unless you... you know, you would enjoy the contact, to put it bluntly. So I think that's going to be the thing with Gutho, is that not only I think is he probably still got another year at fullback, but I don't know whether we've got a lot of options there either to try and replace him.
Nothing young.
Well, not ready to go at that level.
Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah. The thoughts around Sloan is if Flanagan's been there for a while and he hasn't got him to muscle up, but then I also look at a guy like Mitch Moses, who was notoriously had weeks when he was a poor defender. In fact, some weeks he was even at turnstiles. But you look at him now, he's matured. He's really, like, he's grown in size. And now he's, like, it's really noticeable just how much he's putting himself into every tackle physically, even come up with a couple of good turnovers in Origin. But it's like there's hope for Sloan if he can find that. But if he doesn't, like you said, he's just not going to be up to it.
No, you're spot on, mate. Look, I think Sloan will end up in the Super League. I think he'll head over there because that's a little bit more of that style of game, right? So a little bit more attack focus. He's certainly got qualities and he's a bloody good footballer, but at the end of the day, to be an NRL fullback and a leading light, to your point, there's a little bit more in it than that. So, I think Gutho will hang on for at least this year and then see how it goes next year. Obviously, Val and Moses Suli on the other centre are pretty bloody good centres. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know whether there's much to change there. So I probably think he's got another year or two left in him at centre, fullback, and then he might move on.
Mm. Yeah, you raise a good point with the Super League. There's been a couple of fullbacks that just haven't really cut it here, size issues, and have gone over there and absolutely excelled. Ben French went over there as a fullback. He ended up getting reinvented in the six and absolutely killed it to the point where people are talking about him coming back here. But unfortunately, nothing's changed. He's still going to be fragile defensively, small. And Matt Dafty, who's just come back to haunt you blokes for South in the... the Charity Shield, he by all reports, he was killing it over there as well.
Yeah. To be honest with you, Dufty was an example of the Sloan sort of fullback style of player. Didn't like contact either. I watched a lot of him at the Dragons. But truth be told, he come back and he played fairly physical. So, I don't know whether South are going to find a spot for him in that back line because it's pretty star-studded. But he played pretty tough considering the way he had played. So, mate, probably at the other end of the field, the player with the biggest injury concerns for me is Toby Couchman. I think he come off a bumper year last year, got injured towards the end, but he's got rep football written all over him. So if you look at the backup middles or front rowers for St George, probably Emre Guler and Josh Kerr, both solid first graders, no question about it. But Josh Kerr adds that little bit extra for him. He's a big man, moves quite well, so he will have a serious dent. You know, I know we spoke about Gutho, we're not having a real replacement of fullback there for him that he's ready to go, to my knowledge. Couchman's one that will leave a serious dent in the drag. So I see that causing some trouble if he goes down early, mate.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened last year, wasn't it? When he missed games, there was a noticeable difference. So I think you're right there. I struggle with this one. I don't have an intimate knowledge of the Dragons, and to me there's still a problem if Gutho or Cookie goes down. I know they've got Little there in the nine, but as far, like you said, there's no one who's first grade ready really to play fullback. I don't know what your stocks are like in the nine, but it's leaving a fairly big hole if you're missing either of those two guys.
Yeah, agree, mate. Agree. Hopefully they get through unscathed. I can't see the young forwards making it through a full season. I think they're going to have some bumps and bruises again along the way. But that'll be all the better for it as their bodies keep developing and start playing more hard footy. So hopefully he gets through. I guess the backup to Cookie would be Flanagan, mate, who's going to be the most under pressure for mine. I think that goes without saying. Probably a little bit unfair on my view. You know, he had a pretty bloody good season last year. I thought he was one of our best, but the media, because of his old man, just pound on him. And, you know, now the talk around that playing six, playing seven. I heard Atkinson have an interview a couple of weeks ago where he said it's his team. He wants to be the big dog. He wants to do all the kicking. He wants to control the team. Well, he's put his hand up for seven. So I think there's a little bit of being unfair towards Flanagan, especially his performance last year, but it's going to be par for the course, mate, with his old man coaching. They just seem to, he just seems to be an easy target, unfortunately.
He does, but I think he thrives. I think he's much like his old man. He just doesn't give a shit. I agree. I actually had him down as my most underrated player because he had a good year last year. For those who are just reading headlines and haven't actually watched the games, mate, he had some really good games in often a team that was badly beaten, and there's no one tries harder than him, and he actually has improved as a half. There were times there when he went to the Roosters, even sometimes at the Dogs, where you could say he'd been found a bit wanting in terms of a first-grade halfback, but I think he's really developed that part of his game, and as you say, he could easily switch into that nine position because he is tough as nails. He's a good defender. I think that for that reason, I don't think the pressure's going to get to him. I think the pressure's on Atkinson. Like he's never played as the seven running a show, and now he's got to be responsible for a Dragons team that didn't go fantastically last year. Yes, they had some good results and some nearly games where they probably should have won. But, mate, that's a fair bit. And if they don't start well, mate, they will be coming for him, and it'll be a real test. I mean, let's hope he stands up, but it's going to be big, mate.
Yeah, no, couldn't agree with you more, mate. I think he's in for a big season. He did take a fair bit of control. He did a lot of the kicking in the Charity Shield, so that's good signs. Traditionally, unfortunately, over the years, probably since Soward, we haven't really had a strong kicking game. You know, Ben Hunt was never been a noted kicker. We've kicked a lot out of dummy half out of necessity over the years. So hopefully that's a promising sign. And, you know, I like the fact St. George got a halfback that says, I want to be the halfback. I want this team to be mine. I want to stand up and control the team. So that's promising. So hopefully, mate, Flanagan gets a little bit of a reprieve and, he gets to play some footy again, mate.
I watched the same thing happen with Jake Arthur when... Yeah. He was playing at Parra and the fans just turned on him. They were booing him. Like, it's disgraceful. Like, the young bloke's just doing his best and he's getting booed because they reckon there's nepotism. The reality was we didn't have any depth. I don't know who else they thought they were going to have in there. Same with the Dragons. It's not like you're going to throw someone in there and they're going to do a better job. It's just one of those things that people seem pretty quick to jump on. And let's be honest, if Nathan hadn't had the career that he'd gone on to have, like, there would have been times where there would have been some pressure start to come to the Clearys as well. But as it's turned out, that hasn't been a problem.
No, it certainly hasn't, mate. Rest assured, if either of them or both of them want to go to the Dragons, I'm happy to accept the Clearys.
Exactly. Mate, I don't think we'd take them. it was like the was it Wigan that won a couple of years ago? And they go, oh, I don't think we could fit Nathan Cleary in the team. Fucking please, come on.
Yeah, good idea. Good work,
mate. So for me, the underrated Cole Flanagan. Overrated. I mentioned him before, and this is probably a bit of Eels bitterness, but he's just lacking that pace now that the fullback has these days. And yes, maybe you haven't got an alternative. And yes, he just keeps putting in, but there are times there where he kept putting in for Parra too, but we weren't getting the results. And I don't know. I just don't think he's quite at the level that he still gets talked about. You know, when people were saying, oh, Parra should have kept him, well, that's proved to be I actually heard a few journalists actually admit that they got that wrong. And, I mean, hope for your sake he's still got a good year left in him, but I just worry about his durability after another long season with a fairly busted body.
Yeah, look, he's not going to light the NRL up like Reece Walsh will this year. That is what it is, right? And no one surely would be expecting that. So they'll be expecting, and Flanagan will be expecting him to lead the team, be a really good communicator at the back and defence, try and build the game on defensive structure and then effort with the ball, mate. So, you know, Flanagan will know what they're going to get out of Gutho. No one will accuse him of not putting 100% in a try. So, you know, I think you've been a bit harsh, mate, but I know you're a para fan, so I believe it. Look, I mentioned Sloan, mate, so we won't go over that. My underrated and smoky for a rep debut is Toby Couchman, mate. I mentioned him earlier. I just got real big raps on him. He's a big body, but he's really mobile, and that repeat effort, he's just built for Origin. You know, I think you're going to get high workloads out of him. We've already seen it in the trial that he racked up the tackle count. So he stays fully fit. I could certainly see him jagging a spot. Obviously, we'll get to Origin later with some of the eligibility rule changes. So there may be some changes with the New South Wales forward pack especially, but I could see him really taking a step. I think I rate him pretty highly. Out of all the young ones coming through, he's just that little bit older. So we're seeing him first. So, I've got huge raps on him, mate.
Yeah, I like that. For me, and I've mentioned this a few times with a few of the teams, there may still be some gaps in the centres. We always seem to have three or four centres injured around Origin time. And Moses Suli, up until he got that concussion on Anzac Day, mate. He was absolutely killing it. And now you obviously watched more than me, but it didn't really feel like he bounced back after that. Like, it was a pretty sickening one. It didn't really feel like he bounced back and got to that high point of the first sort of, what, 5-6 rounds. But I just think if he stays fit, he is just an absolute beast. Like, he's so hard to handle when he gets going.
Yeah, he's one that took to Flanagan's style of coaching really well. Yeah, just played hard footy, you know, big tackle buster effort. So, yeah, look, that's a shout, mate. That will be a pretty hotly contested, especially if the Latrells are fit, you know, Turbo fit. There's a lot, right? Best and Stag. So there's a lot of different options for him. Obviously, Crichton will be there. So, yeah, look, that's a good shout, mate. That certainly will be a hotly contested spot, though, for the Blues. But
yeah, and it's good to see, because when he first burst onto the scene, Sully, there was he was inconsistent, as you'd expect. Like, he's a big unit, and people expect him just to go out there and be a seasoned first grader. So it's good to see him find some consistency. And, yeah, I think, like you said, Flanagan's perfect fit for unleashing what he is capable of with that speed and that body shape, mate. Unbelievable. Yeah. Coach, absolutely under pressure. They've had a tough run for a few years now. Honestly, he's got, like, how long's he been there for now?
Yeah, look, you're right.
He's got to get results. He's got to get results this year.
Look, I've put yes, no down here under pressure. I think from the media and the outside, I definitely think the drums will be beaten if we get off to a slow start. But I think Flano sold the club on a rebuild, which going for that youth policy, you know, again, let's put a couple of really experienced heads around them and go with this youth policy. And I think if they can just give him, unfortunately, it's not going to be this year, as much as I'd love to see it, but if they can just give him a little bit more time, I could certainly see the green shoots coming. So I don't think he'll be under pressure internally, but at the end of the day, it'll be how strong the front office is. If they bow to the public and the press, then, it doesn't look promising, but I certainly think that there's good times coming, and if Flanagan's there at the end, he'll certainly deserve the rewards that he'll get, mate.
Oh, absolutely. He's a winner. There were part of me that was hoping Parra might snap him up when he came back into the game. Yeah. But again, results speak for themselves.
Yeah.
It is a rebuild, and you just wonder whether Kaloa Matangi's signature is the catalyst for more bigger names to join, because they've really struggled to attract. If they stick with Flanagan, there's every chance that they'll go into bigger and better things. It's just if they will. Typically, the Dragons don't rush into sackings, do they? They certainly persisted with McGregor perhaps longer than many thought they should have.
100% they did, yeah, no, they've been pretty steadfast in that. And you're right. You know, you think another year under the young forwards belt, a year with Atkinson playing first grade for the entire season, we pick up another, probably, you know, to our point earlier, a fullback or someone at that higher end. Even, you know, they've made no secrets that they want a top tier number seven. So if those sort of things come off, it's, you never know, but every other club's out there trying to do the same thing as well, right? So to see how the chips fall.
Don't want to go off too early, but just the parts that I did see of Reed, like, he might be one of those kids that actually can be up to first grade. Like, just he obviously was tough and he was aggressive. He was, like, you know, obviously he pissed off Sandon Smith on that tackle. But also, he just seemed so calm for a kid who's 19. There's plenty to like, so it'll be interesting to see. Okay, so as much as I was calling Gutho overrated, I just don't know where else you're going to load up on Daly M points apart from him consistently, because he's just always there. He's always chewing up the meters. I'd say that's one thing I will give him. He's often had two hit ups a set, particularly when they've got the other pack backpedaling. He jumps in there and makes an extra 20 yards consistently. So I'd say he's going to be there or thereabouts, the Dragons. I don't know if you've got any other thoughts on that.
No, look, no one from the Dragons will give the top four or five guys a shake. Well, they won't get close, mate. But Gutho certainly, and then, you know, we don't know what we're going to get out of Atkinson, so just see how we go, mate. But no one from the Dragons will give it a shake at the end of the day. I've got the new fella from the Warriors, Setu Tu, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, as leading try scorer. I really like what I saw out of him in the trials. There wasn't much to see of anyone against South, but that first trial, you know, he's got a good, strong carry on him. It looks like the work rate's pretty good as well. And playing outside of either Holmes or Sully, I think he'll end up lobbing outside of Holmes, but either side of either wing, he's going to get plenty of good ball and plenty of good opportunities. So I'll probably see him as a bit of a smoky for the top try scorer. He certainly, again, won't take the whole thing out. The Dragons won't score that many points, unfortunately, but I see him crossing the line a few times.
I saw last year's top try scorers for the Dragons. It was Sloan with 9. That's disturbing.
Yeah. Well, I've got set to score on a few more, but they certainly won't be up in the mid 20s like some of the South or Roosters players or the Dolphins players will be.
No. To Aplodu for mine, if he stays fit. He started off on fire. Obviously, he got busted too many times. If he stays fit, he's just one of those guys who seems to find his way to the line and loves to find his way to the line and celebrate it too. Super coach, what do you got?
Super coach. So I've just mentioned him, Setu Tu. He is at bottom price, 201K. So he's a lock. He's got about 42% of. Players have picked him in their side. I think you absolutely have to have him. He obviously plays in Vegas, so we're going to get a look from a super coach perspective. Teamless Tuesday for the Vegas teams will come out first, obviously a week earlier. So he'll be in and he'll be a lock. A lot of people have still got Farley in their side. I think there's no chance of him starting in first grade unless there's a major injury. And if there is, he's only on borrowed time. So I think you need to remove him. But Setu's a lock. Couchman's an interesting one. He's at 588, but he's dual front row, second row, so that's certainly something to look at.
With the big minutes?
He should get some minutes on the back of Kerr and Gula. I'm expecting him to get enough minutes there. We're expecting Tino to get dual front row, second row over the next week or two, and we'll speak of someone in the para who should get the same. So if you can have two or three of them, it gives you a bit of flexibility. My lovely partner Kath's leaf pass is Valentine's Holmes. She is a big fan of Val. I'll be keeping her away from Val in Vegas. Don't worry about that. He's got a little bit of a twinge, but Val is always super coach relevant. He's 734, so I wouldn't start with him, but have a think. And then Atkinson, he's going to fall in the same category as Pizzette and Sanders. So I probably would have, you've got to have at least one, maybe even two of them. Having all three would be a ballsy move, but he's at 235K as well. So a few there at the Dragons to think about, but for God's sake, don't load up on too many of them after what we saw in the South Carolina.
Yeah, but remember the Warriors in Vegas, everyone said, oh, they're over, and then within 2 weeks, everyone had changed their mind. So we will see, mate, we will see. In terms of mental edge, like we talked about Flano, like his teams are hard, they defend really well, they're just competitive, like they get in the contest, they get in the fight. He obviously sets high standards around physicality, and defense is how he leads everything, and so they'll be like that again this year, of course. So they'll be improved if their young forward pack can stay fit, then they're going to be pretty hard to break down. The challenge mentally, I think, is if they do start falling into that injury trap again, particularly if some of those young guys are getting repeat injuries, that does tend to mess with the head. We've seen that with some of the best players in the league. So there's that side of things. Do they get a bit gun shy? And then, like I said before about Atkinson, if they don't start well and Hayes battling, then that will flow through the whole team, because it's then it's like, oh, well, where do we go now? So I think there's a lot to like for the Dragons mentally. They were probably in more games than they deserved to be, but then also that they probably didn't win a few games that they probably should have. The Eels Dragons game, one that I can remember that we got away with that we probably shouldn't have, in the first round, second round, you towel us up, of course, but we won't talk about that. So yeah, I think they should be good from that mental perspective, but there is a few doubts that could creep in. So it will be really interesting to see how it unfolds. Where have you got him finishing, mate?
I've Thompson, I've changed this a handful of times. So I've ended up lobbing on 10th. Now, I'm assuming you're going to have a go, and it's a bit optimistic I might be at 10th. But, look, I saw a lot about him I really liked. Our good Dragons fan, Elsie, will not be happy. I've got them outside of the eight. He's reached out over socials and told us that if I don't pick him in the top eight, he won't be happy. But, look, I just see those forwards need another year, young halves. So, look, I'd love to see them make the eight, but I just think when time comes, they're just going to be a couple of wins short, I think.
Yeah, I think if you're a fan, you're hopeful because there was enough there to like last year and you've had some decent additions and you're going to have everyone fit at the start of the year. But every team seems to have improved and you just don't see enough. We talked about it at the start. They just don't have that peak 24 to 30 age group. They're just not enough of those guys who are in form. So I think they're going to struggle. I do see them improving, and they could surprise everyone because if they'd won three or four of those games that they should have won last year, well, then they are in and about the eight. But then every team who finished in that logjam could have said the same thing. I had a look at the Dolphins, and I think we talked about it the other week, and some of their losses were against like bottom four teams.
Yeah.
And you just think, well, what could have been? So I think everyone's got that sort of hard luck story. Mate, I got them at 14th. I just – too many other teams improving, and I think we've talked about it every single week. It wouldn't surprise if they finish at the bottom of the eight. It wouldn't surprise if they finished lower. I just think it's a bit of a guess, but just based on what I'm seeing, and I actually wrote this down a month ago, but nothing I've seen in the preseason's changed that. So long season, unfortunately, I see for you guys, mate. But happy to be proven wrong.
Well, let's hope so, mate.
Yeah, I kind of feel like we'll move on to Parra now, but I kind of feel like we've been through a really similar sort of stage of rebuild. We probably had some more upside more recently, and we've got more of that star power. But I just feel like we're probably a year ahead just based on what I saw at the back end of last year. Some of those young guys have already improved a heap, particularly out wide. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. So what do you like about Parra, mate?
Well, it's funny you say that because I've got a very similar thing to the Dragons as far as their strength. It looks like they've finally got their pathway system in order. So traditionally, Parra have always had really strong juniors through those elite programs, but there's been a disconnect getting them from that ball flag Matthews up into first grade. It looks like they're starting to get that happening. So Kelmar Tuolungi, I'm hoping I say that right. Riley Smith as an example. Iongi, I know he's been through a few different clubs, but they certainly start to see that junior pathway system coming and their strengths in their future again. So to your point, they're a little bit ahead of the Dragons with some of those players have played a few more NRL games. So I certainly see that as their strength. You know, they're building. You know, we spoke about Riles a little bit with the Storm one as well coming from that program. He seems to be cool, calm, and collected. Nothing phases him. You know, I think they've handled the Lomax situation extremely well, and whichever way it falls, it falls. So I really like their base. They've got a really good base, solid base to build on. So I think that's good. I've got their weaknesses. I think they're still missing a little bit of punch up front. You know, Junior Polo has been solid over the last couple of years, but, you know, he's on the back nine. He's got less days ahead of him than behind him. Hopgood was sensational and then had his back injury last year. You know, he was on the fringe of first grade. So I think they need a
fringe big, of origin, you mean?
Origin, sorry, fringe yeah, of origin. Yeah. So the word out of camp is that Hopgood is as fit as he's ever been. He's just had his first child, a little girl, and he's ready to roll. So I'm expecting big things out of Hopgood. But yeah, if they can get that middle going and give Moses some time with some of these electric backs, you saw Iongi on the weekend. He's just got class written all over him. So if they can get forward and get a little bit of momentum, a little bit of room. I think that's an opportunity for him, but I probably see that right now as a bit of a weakness, mate. How do you see that?
Oh, mate, pretty much the same. on the Lomax thing, it looks like what they've done is they've positioned themselves by going to court so that the NRL couldn't intervene, and you would think that they would settle that out of court. They're just trying to get as good a deal as they can. I saw one talk of taking Madison off our hands. That would be an absolute blessing. So hopefully that unfolds. I don't think we're going to get good player swap out of it, but they're just trying to get as much as they can, I think. So, yeah. Obviously, the strengths of the halves. They've got exciting one, as you said, Iongi, and they've got two nines who have definitely got more upsides in the future. So there's like plenty of that, like you said, that solid base. Oh, I actually really liked the exciting brand of football they played. They really started attacking from anywhere, and I don't know if you saw any of their games where they actually spread it from the kickoff and actually made some decent meters, not every time, just every now and then. They just do a shift from the kickoff from one side to the other, and they did that from all over the park at times. So they're you mentioned the big fellas. I see that as a bit of an issue as well. They've got Jack Williams, who's one of those guys I think you're going to mention, front row, second row. Not huge. Hopgood looks like he's going to play in the front row as well. Obviously, DeBellin will spend a bit of time there. So if small ball doesn't work, then, yeah, they might be found a bit wanting there. Although, again, some good fellas coming through. You said to Kelma Talangi. I think you were thinking of Ryder Talangi, who's Blazer's brother, who's the young fella coming through. Kelma came from Manly. He's a bit older. Right.
I thought he was a local junior, mate. He's a Manly boy. Para have stolen a lot of.
He might have been Tigers before that, actually. Tigers to Manly and Para. Anyway, he's a bit older. But I think it's like for the Para fans that remember shades of the late 90s when we had that core group of those older guys, Pay, McCracken, Dimmick, and. Paul Stringer was coming off towards the end there. There's a couple other names that escaped me, but then at the same time we had Nathan Kalis, Nathan Hindmarsh, a couple other good young Mick Vella coming through, and we've got Luca Moretti, Charlie Guymer, Katonga, who's the big Fijian fellow who plays out wide in his first full year of first grade last year. Super impressive. The big unit Tuivaiti, who's only 21. He'll get better, obviously, as a prop. And then a couple of the guys yesterday that looked pretty good. Talangi looked good until he got concussed at his first hit up, so not the best start. Yeah. But weaknesses, Moses has been fragile for a few years now. He's just got to stay fit. And if he doesn't, yes, they're better equipped than they have been a long time. It's still, they're just a completely different team. So it's whether he can get through a whole year or most of the year. And I still think some of those young guys, as good as they are, they're probably 12 to 24 months away from their best.
Yeah, see it as the same, mate. Moses is their big injury. I don't think they – I got them out of the eight anyway, not to jump ahead, but I don't think they can make the eight without Moses. You know, I've got him just a shade behind Cleary and Hughes in that top bracket of sevens. I think he's a bloody good half. He can really change it up for him, and he gives him that little bit of mongrel, a little bit of energy as well. He's got that, you know, he's got that swagger about him. So he's definitely, without Moses, they're still going to do all right. They're still going to do solid like they did last year, but he's going to be the big one. And for that, you know, he's going to be the one under pressure, right? He's got the keys. It's his team to run. I've got, as I mentioned earlier, Junior Polo down there as well. You know, he's got to lead from the front and really take a step up with the younger fellas. So if he can get a good year out, it's going to be big for the club. But, yeah, they ride and die on Moses, right? He's the main man, and he's the one that's going to be able to do it for them.
Yeah, 100%. I think I always wonder why – like he doesn't get mentioned in the same breath as Hughes. I think what he did at Origin, well, he's won his last four Origin games. Like he went to another level when he played his first Origin and finished that game with a busted back in the first tackle he made. Clearly at NRL level, Cleary is still at the top, but Moses has played one of those Origin games, even for Australia a couple of years ago when he stepped up. under pressure, I sort of found this hard one to answer. Like, obviously Moses is a no-brainer, but I think he's up to it. I think someone like DeBellin coming into a new team, he's 34, so yes, he might have had a few years out, so maybe he's not the typical 34-year-old in terms of his body. But coming into a new system at that age, I think that's, you know, he's... The fans will let him know if he doesn't step up. So I think that's just an interesting one to watch. I don't know about pressure, but one to watch there. The underrated two guys, Sean Russell, he was one of those players where he would do my head in. Like he didn't defend well. He just didn't feel like he'd make any meters. And then last year, I kept saying every week, he's the most improved footballer in the comp. And then yesterday in the trial, he just backed that up. Like, he's become super tough. He defends well. That may have had something to do with Josh Addo-Carr defending next to him for a fair chunk of the year. But just, I think the Bears are on a winner there. I think I mentioned that in a previous episode too. And Simonsen, I think we'll miss Lomax's presence, obviously, but he was prone to some defensive lapses. Maybe that was covered over a bit in Origin in a really, really elite defensive unit. But for Parra, a couple of times, he just made like poor reads, poor mistakes, lazy almost at times, which I'm sure you can remember at different times for the Dragons as well. And I just think Simonsen is one of those players that he's 22. When he stepped in for the prelim final, he was enormous defensively. He's a great defender. He's got bigger. Same thing as Moses. He's the fragility is the problem. But if he can get a full year out of him, I don't think we'll miss him. And then in terms of overrated, it's good to hear what you said about Hopgood, right? Because we always like bagged him last year. Because like you said, the back injury, he never seemed to fully recover. He was one of those players that had two penalties and two drop balls in him every single game. It just, like clockwork. It's so frustrating because you saw what his best was before he got absolutely folded in that Origin game. Yeah. And so hopefully you're right. And also, I'm not sure about Brian Kelly. He is an unbelievable player in attack, but defensively at times for the Titans, again, maybe the system, but he got found out a few times, so it'll be interesting to see how he goes as well.
Yeah, it's a good shout, mate. I don't think Rolls will put up with an outside back not defending well. So I think if Kelly doesn't get his defence in order, it won't be long. Mate, I've got one with some pretty big raps on them. I've got Iongi and Kelmer that we've already spoken about. They've got raps on them, so hard to be underrated. But they got a little bit of class about them. I think obviously at different times in their career at the moment, but I think they've got a pretty big future ahead for both of them. If they can stay on the park, get some game time into them, they could be anything. I'm going to flip the script on what you did to the Dragons, mate. My overrated. I'm shocked Parra signed DeBellin. I can only assume it is on close enough to league minimum and they just needed a little bit of middle depth. I don't see him adding a great deal to you guys. Obviously, they're going to push Hopgood up front. I think he's had his time in the NRL, mate. I can imagine he's trying to get another couple of years out of him and potentially get into the PNG side for their first inaugural season. But look, if Parra are fair nick him this year, I can't see him playing as much game time as what they the press is talking about. Look, been a great player, but I think he's had his time, mate, so I don't see much happening there. You talk about, you know, Hopgood seemed to have been a regular occurrence. I call him a smoky for rep footy because he's already played it, so it's a bit hard to call him a smoky, but I genuinely think back fully fit, Hopgood can still cause havoc with that rep football. He's got he's got obviously 19 slots now in the Origin side, and again, some eligibility changes. Will be interesting to see how that lobs. But I got huge raps on Hopgood, so I really hope he's fully fit and ready to go, because I see him can make a Queensland side. And then in a few years down the track, it won't happen this year, but Iongi and Smith are at number nine. I think they've both got massive futures. You're going to hear a lot about Smith. The press will lead up. The fact is, Australian schoolboy rugby league player and cricketer. I've got a hot tip for you. You're going to hear about that as many times as you hear that Damien Cook's a beach sprinter. Bossy will not be able to help himself with that. He'll do my head in by the time this bloke retires. But
he started yesterday.
Yeah, He did it. There you go. Yeah, yeah. They're both got very big futures, mate. If they continue to develop, there's obviously a lot of hard work to go in and a bit of luck, mm-hmm. but they've got some bright futures. So in a few years down the track, we could see both of them playing as well, mate.
Yeah, I like that. Dylan Walker, when the stats last year when he was on, it was like plus 16, and when he was off, it was like minus 10. So I feel like DeBellin's just that stopgap. I don't think he'll play big minutes. I think he's just filling a hole while Walker's off because he can't play long minutes. And obviously they're decided Hopgood's going to go into the front row rather than being in the lock position. Also noticed Matt Dury played at 13 yesterday and actually played had a nice offload for the second or third try, I think it was. So maybe you're right. Maybe he won't get a great deal. The Smoky, yeah. I hope you're right about Hopgood. Similarly, Josh Adokar, he's not new to a rep scene, but he hasn't been in that blue jersey for a long time. Yeah. If he keeps up the form he showed at the back end of last year, maybe he's back in there. I will say this: Ioane is a Queenslander, so he's sitting behind some pretty handy fullbacks. Queensland more than New South Wales just seemed to find a way to fit these guys in. He played at 6-4 for Tonga, I think, at the back end of the year and wasn't overly impressive. But he's also a young kid, probably playing 6 for the first time. So I hope you're right, but I also, there's a fair line.
Yeah, I didn't know he's a Queenslander, mate. That'll make him hard. Yeah. Obviously, Ponga all now, regardless of what he does with New South Wales, he'll be around. So you'd think they would lob with even as a 19 bench, that there's a few ahead of him. But you never know how they develop, mate. So see how they go with the future, mate. I got Riles absolutely under zero pressure. He's just about as safe as Bellamy and Bennett. He's done a sensational job first year out, mate. Surely you don't see that any different. You've got to be happy as a supporter.
100%. And it's the manner in the transformation as well. Like, one of the big frustrations for me is on the edge, we were so poor defensively. Yeah. And then he sealed that up pretty quickly. We play a good brand to watch. And it's also all the other noise, and that's from the very start. He engaged those old players. He's building this one club philosophy. They all talk about the badge. There's been heaps of footage for the Para fans who are watching all the detail. Lots of footage of them all training together, every grade, guys, girls. So, I agree. It's the same thing. It's first grade. You still got to get results. We can't see them. Well, I don't see them making the eight. I've heard plenty of people say that they will. Hope I'm wrong, but there's certainly trending in the right direction for sure. Yeah. So I think, he's got plenty of time on his side. They're all in there for I could see him being there for 10 years easily.
100%, definitely. I could see this being a long stint for him for Para, and they're certainly heading in the right direction, mate. No one can argue with that.
Mm. The next bit sort of writes itself. Dally M, Moses stays fit. I've heard a few people mention him in suggesting that he might win the whole thing. That's not a bad shout, but he'll definitely be thereabouts if he plays enough games just for Para. And top try scorer, Josh Adokar, again, stays fit. He should walk that in.
Yeah, agreed, mate. Fully fit, Moses. Could certainly give it a shake. He'll be in the top two or three. I know I've called Grant one, Cleary two. I won't be surprised if Moses is there and takes him out fully fit. Adokar's a no-brainer. And then, mate, from a Supercoach perspective, similar to where we've named a number of them. So Moses is a little bit cheaper this year, coming off the back of an injury-riddled season. He missed a few games. So he's at 543. He was in my team for a long time, but I've just unfortunately had to make some cash for some other positions. But he'll be getting a start in a lot of teams. We mentioned Hopgood with the dual second row, front row. If he does start, he's certainly an option at 517. And then, as we said earlier, Pezzett with the other two cheap halves, he's at 235. So Pezzett will probably be the only one I start with. if I don't go with both the other two halves, but can't knock anyone from starting with either of those two guys.
Yep, good shout. The mental side, my main concern is we got a pretty tough draw straight up. So we go Storm, Bronx, Dragons, Panthers, and then Tigers on Easter Monday, which we traditionally struggle on. So we've got to split. We've got to at least be 50-50 in the first six rounds. And if we do, and if we can get a win against Storm, Bronx, and or Panthers, then that's a really good start. But we've got to win those other two. Got to beat the Dragons, got to beat the Tigers. But if they don't and they start off with a tough start, then the pressure and the trust in what they're building might struggle. But again, in saying that, last year they did not start well at all. They had a couple of real bad blowouts. Storm first 40 minutes was an absolute bloodbath. The Raiders game got a bit out of hand towards the back end. But in saying that, it's the most mentally strong they've been probably since those Brian Smith days that we mentioned before. Mm-hmm. You know, it talks about Brian Smith choking. To me, he just had teams that he got overachieving. He had players in really crucial positions that weren't stars, and he just got the absolute most out of them. And I think those late 90s para teams were a bit like that, and they were just so mentally tough. They defended hard. Obviously, Riles has learned from Bellamy, Robbo, Eddie Jones. He's obviously brought his own philosophy in because he's not just repeating what he's learned there. You mentioned it before, like, doesn't seem to get flustered. He just seems so calm, so certain about what he's doing. In those press conferences, he never offers excuses. It's never the refs this. It's never, you know, there's a lot to like. And even though I'm really excited and I have genuine hopes that we can make the eight, I still, there's too many other teams that are still up there that I haven't seen go far enough backwards. So I got them at 10th, given that they finished 11th last year, and I can only see them improving. But again, anywhere from 6th to 16th.
Yeah, you're right, mate. I got them at 12th for a lot of the same reasons, right? You talk about that early start. I don't know whether it's as hard as what it might look on the surface, mate. The Storm... I know they've never lost a round one game for 1,000 years, but and we say every year this could be the year, but you know they're missing a few players. Their stars are coming off the back of a kangaroo tour, so you know you never know. There's obviously a bit of Lomax drama floating around. They come up against Penrith, who have got their own nightmare start to the season. So obviously they'll drop the Dragons game because we will annihilate them. But, it's not as bad as what you think. And then obviously you mentioned the Broncos with the pain has going on, how they're going to come out and start the season. So while it certainly is a tough draw, there's certainly optimism, mate. I'm talking you into a couple of wins there.
5-0, mate. Thank you. That'll actually, could you imagine if either of our two sides do like hit the ground running and go on like 5-0, 4-1, like suddenly the talk will come, like, are two sides that aren't quite at that level, are they up for that sort of scrutiny? So that's something, hopefully we both have that problem, but that would be interesting to see. okay, so we managed to stretch that out well because we could talk about our own teams for hours, but I don't know if I've got too much more to be honest. It's only early days and we're getting excited, as every fan does. But you mentioned Origin and the change of eligibility rules. Oh, mate, how good is a front row of a rotation of Haas, Adam Fanua Blake, and Mitch Barnett? That looks all right, doesn't it?
It does look all right. It does look all right. I think there's a lot of – I'll try to dive into as much as I can. There's still – everyone's diving for records to see when certain players landed in Australia and where they were playing when they were 13. So I think there's a few players out there that were still hanging on. The last time I read about Hughes from the Storm, he may have played his first game up here on the Gold Coast when he was 14. So he may be 12 months too late, but who knows what they'll come up with and what they'll find. So, look, I don't mind it. I'm certainly not a fan of them taking a game to New Zealand in 2027. I think they hid that in the announcement. I think, call it old-fashioned or not, I think the game should be played in Australia. I get what they're trying to do, but that's what the Vegas round's for, or that's what Magic round's for. I genuinely think it should be here, so I'm not a fan of that. However, the eligibility rules, the reality is the game's going in this direction, right? We've got over, I think it's over 51, 52% at the moment, are players with heritage from the island countries. And you saw Parramatta as a classic example, but the trial matches throughout the year, these young fellas coming through have heritage that are Tongan, Samoan, etc. And that's where they're going to want to play, and no one can dispute that. They've got every right to do that. So I just hope that they do not water down the 13-year eligibility, and that there is that cutoff. I would hate to see a Sam Burgess grow up in England and then come over here, start playing first grade, and then all of a sudden he's playing Origin. I don't like that idea. So I understand where they're coming from for this, but I hope it doesn't get watered down any further, because then I wouldn't be a fan. I think it loses its tribalism. You know, Fenua Blake, I found out this morning, was born in New South Wales. So he has every right to play for New South Wales. So no problems, go for it. I think that's good.
Play juniors here, apart from the fact of his heritage, he's essentially Australian, so a New South Welshman. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense to me, mate. I just hope they don't water it down any further. I hope this is it. That way you've still got that, you know, emotional attachment, that tribalism, that feeling that you get in the game, because that's what makes Origin work, right?
Yeah, 100%. And also Herbie Farnworth came here at 14, so we certainly don't want to have him representing Queensland, because he's actually scary.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of diving for birth certificates and finding when people arrived in Australia and those sort of things. But, look, I think it's a common sense approach, as long as this is it. Unfortunately, Valandis at the moment seems to want to continue to change things. Let's just hope that this is the last one for Origin for a little while.
Yeah, I've got a counter opinion on New Zealand. I was really sceptical about Vegas, and such a proud day, that day, that Vegas, how big it was, how it was just the talk of Australian sport. Like, everyone was talking about it. And it was for me, it was like, wow, our little old game from Australia, look what we've done. Oh, mate, I get goosebumps even now. Like, I just remember sitting there, the whole family were watching it, just going, oh, fuck, this is the coolest thing ever. And watching the build-up, like, I'm not surprised you're going, because the build-up, the fan events that they ran, they show those crowds of them all together, everyone just looking like they're having the absolute best time. Mate, I'm all in on New Zealand. I just think if I'm in a position where I can go next year, mate, I reckon, how cool. I've been to Origin in Melbourne a couple of times. Just a great experience. And the other thing is that when we hit the pandemic, we hadn't financially proofed the game. And basically, if we didn't come back and play, we were fucked. Whereas now everything is about how do we continue to build the wealth around the game. And the amount of money that they've talked about it will tip into New Zealand tourism is in the multiple millions. Like, I think they talked about 15 to 20 million. So no doubt that the game is going to see a fair chunk of that. Mm-hmm. So I just think, mate, people will travel. I mean, like, who'd have thought that first year they got, what, 10, 15,000 Australians over there? That's only going to grow. It'd be interesting to see how many are going. I don't know if you've seen the figures for tickets already, but I imagine with Dogs and Dragons and Cowboys fans who are used to travelling. Oh, and again, the Knights, who are just like absolute diehards. They're every week. Yeah, you imagine there's going to be a really good contingent of all those teams over there.
Yeah, no, definitely, mate. So, look, we'll see how it pans out for Origin. As I said, I'm not a fan. Certainly owe New Zealand a lot, and I only heard this morning that there's talk in Auckland that the Warriors are overtaking the Blues as far as popularity, fan base, viewership, etc., which is a monster deal. So, look, all for it. There's no doubt there'll be another team in New Zealand, in the future. So, look, get all that for New Zealand Rugby League. Maybe I'm a little bit of a dinosaur when it comes to Origin, mate. Don't mind the eligibility, but yeah, I'd rather see it played here. But we'll see how it pans out.
If we're going to Perth and Adelaide, until maybe a few years ago they had a team in there.
It's almost like going to another country. We're closer to Auckland than Perth, I suppose, aren't we?
Exactly. Yeah. Anything else from the trials that you liked? It's funny, I watched the first 5 minutes of the Knights Dogs game and I went, actually maybe the Knights will go all right this year. Yeah, they just couldn't score. They seemed to have so much ball and they've got all that firepower. It just, mate, blank.
Yeah, no. I got the Knights down with the Dragons as the least impressive. The Knights were coming up against a little bit of a better side. The Bulldogs put a fairly decent side on the park, but they got major problems. I was really impressed with the Titans and the Cowboys for different reasons. The Titans have never played like that before. They were in the grind. And knowing what's coming back with the Campbells and the Brimpsons, Keanu Keeney played in the Indigenous Maori game, the All-Star game. So they've got that flair. They don't need to worry about that. They need to worry about the grind, and they did it. Like, that was only a trial. Let's not get too excited, but that was certainly good signs. And the Cowboys look really sharp. They look fit. You know, we spoke about their fitness during their preseason. They look sharp and fit. So, again, trial against a weaker opposition. But just a couple of things there to get excited about a little bit for the fans.
Yeah, they did definitely play a second-string Penrith team. And I'll add this, Parra's first trial game last year, they just looked amazing. And I remember hearing from a few different Parra fans going, wow, like they look so fast. And then we're down 40 blot in about 30 minutes against the Storm in round one. So I'll wait and see with the Cowboys. I did like Reed's little dig when they asked him about, like, you know, the team, and I don't think he meant it, but it came out like, oh yeah, it was good to play behind some really big big men forwards. And I'm like, oh, that's good.
He won't let the ball bounce down all year, mate. He'll be chirping the whole season.
That will be a must watch when those two go around.
You mentioned a lot of teams have improved over the off season. I tell you who hasn't improved. That's Vossi, Kev Walters, and Blocker. Now, I dread every time I turn Fox Sports on, Dragons are going to play. Please don't give me the combo. And sure enough, we get the old three rolled out, and it is like stabbing myself in the eye, mate. Please, can we do something about them three?
I used to be the same with Vossi, but I just like how excited he gets. So I'm actually on board with him now. The little anecdotes in between, you can leave that out. Like talking about, like, they were at Henson Park, the amount of stories we heard and all that shit. But in terms of the call, like, I'm like, but yeah, the other two, I don't know how Blocky still gets a run. But anyway, but then again, you could be watching Channel 9.
True. I won't go there. No.
Yeah, someone will have us killed. But how good is it to have footy back? Sitting back on the couch yesterday, just felt right.
No, it's good to have it back, mate. That Saturday, four games in a row, absolutely glorious. Reserve grade players running around all night. It was just great to get out and see four games in a row.
Yeah, well, there was plenty of first graders. Not every team had them out there. And like I saw someone on Zero Tackle, right? The Vegas teams should have played each other. I know there was a bit of that crossover because in the end they're building to a game that's in 2 weeks, whereas everyone else is still a week away from pretty much running out their top team. I don't know if anything can be done about that, but it was good to see a heap of first graders out there. And of course, for your own team, you just love seeing the young guys that will potentially step into that role and look to see if you can find something that for you to get excited about. mate.
Yeah, 100%. There's nothing better than it, than seeing what the club's got, talking about the future and seeing who's the next in line. So I don't think they need to do much more to change it the off-season. I think it's good, mate. We're getting to watch the footy. There's plenty of it, so it's all positive for me.
Yeah, it's good. Now, when do you fly out, mate? Because you are heading to Vegas.
I am this time next week, mate. So we're recording this on the Tuesday, so fly out next Tuesday. So very excited. We're ready to go, mate.
We might have to try and jump on at some point and record a preview to the Vegas round. I don't know if we can go as far enough ahead to preview. Maybe we could the whole round, but we're definitely going to have more NRL content coming in the weeks ahead. Just not sure exactly what that'll look like. How long are you away for?
About a week and a half, mate. So we can certainly we'll get one in before Vegas, and then we can get we'll get another one in before the rest of the round hits the week after. No problems.
We might try and get you on game day, and record just depending on the state that you're in.
Yeah, just do it early, mate. But yeah, no, I'll definitely try. We'll get some comments. So. Certainly keep listening and follow and do all those things we do with your podcast, because we'll try and get as much info while we're there in Vegas. And then as soon as I get back, looking forward to the rest of the round the week after.
I'll speak to Kath about getting you to film you a little bit, and we'll see if we can get anything good out of the game day experience to put on the show.
I'll do my best, mate.
Should be some compelling viewing. Yeah, I love it. Mate, I'm a bit envious. Certainly not of the teams that are playing, but the fact that you're on that trip, hopefully the Eels get to be there next year or the year after, and I'm doing the same trip. I'm actually, I'll have to speak to you when we finish it and record. I'm thinking of heading up to Magic Round. It was a potential event I could be involved in, so I might have to talk to you about that once we finish off, but it'd be cool for us to do something up there in and around Magic Round as well, so stay tuned.
Awesome. Appreciate your time.
You too, mate. You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.